Welcome to the AI Daily Roundup for July 18th, 2026. Moonshot AI just knocked Anthropic and OpenAI off the top of Arena's coding leaderboard, with an open-weight model anyone can self-host.
That's a shot across the bow for the closed-source labs. And the timing couldn't be more awkward, because Anthropic's response to competitive pressure is literally in the next story.
Right. Kimi K3 from Moonshot AI debuted Thursday and went straight to number one on Arena's front-end coding leaderboard, beating Claude Fable and GPT-Sol in blind evaluations. The open-weight part means developers can run it locally, no API required.
So the "you have to compromise on quality to self-host" argument just got a lot harder to make. What did Anthropic do in response?
They reversed course on Claude Fable 5. Starting July 20th, it's going into Max and Team Premium plans at 50% of limits. They had originally planned to keep it API only. Pro and Team standard users get a one-time $100 credit to bridge the gap.
Reading between the lines, they basically couldn't hold the line once GPT-Sol and Kimi K3 caught up. Subscribers would have been paying top dollar for access to second-tier models.
Exactly. Shifting over to developer tools, OpenAI detailed their Codex security plugin this week, which hooks GPT-Sol directly into code review workflows via a one-click scan prompt. It reportedly sets a new state of the art on something called the Last Ones Cyber Range, with results that translate to real-world vulnerability detection.
So this puts frontier-level security tooling in front of dev teams that can't staff a dedicated security engineer. That's a pretty significant capability unlock for smaller shops.
On the more unexpected end of developer tools, DoorDash CTO Andy Fang announced DDCLI, a command-line interface that lets AI agents search restaurants, build a cart, and complete payment through a single command. It's available now for macOS developers in the US and Canada via waitlist.
The fact that a major commerce platform is shipping purpose-built agent tooling rather than just an API says something about where agentic commerce is in the adoption curve.
Also worth noting for anyone doing generative media work, Hugging Face published a guide to fine-tuning video and image diffusion models at scale using NVIDIA NI Mo Auto model integrated with the diffuser's library. It's bringing enterprise-grade training tooling into one of the most widely used open-source pipelines.
Fine-tuning at scale for video models has been genuinely painful. Tighter tooling between NVIDIA and Hugging Face is the kind of unglamorous infrastructure work that actually moves things forward.
Let's talk infrastructure economics for a second. There's a solid framework out this week on the self-host versus API question, and it finally puts real numbers on it. APIs win below about 1 million tokens per day. Self-hosting crosses over around 2 million, and owned hardware pays back in 6 to 12 months if you're above 10 million tokens per day.
What's the number most teams miss when they do this math?
The ML ops engineer runs about $160,000 a year, which often costs more than the GPU hardware itself. Most mature teams end up on hybrid routing, splitting traffic by sensitivity and volume, and landing 40 to 70% cheaper than going all API.
That hybrid framing is probably where most serious teams should be and aren't. Speaking of infrastructure, there's a piece making the case for CPUs in agentic workloads.
Google Cloud and ARM are arguing that CPUs, specifically Google's Axion ARM-based processors, are the right tool for the orchestration layer of agents, managing state, semantic routing, tool selection, spinning up sandboxes for untrusted code. GPUs handle training and heavy inference. CPUs handle everything else.
As agentic deployments scale, the cost and reliability decisions are going to go well beyond which GPU you picked. That framing is overdue.
Jumping into research, there's a piece arguing that agents making consequential decisions need more than retrieval. They need what the author calls an evidence packet. Computed rates, time window comparisons, correlated signals, quantified impact across segments, before they flag a recommendation.
So the gap between "I found something relevant" and "I produced a defensible answer," that's where enterprise trust actually gets built or lost.
That's exactly the framing, and it connects directly to the next story on the application side. 1Password launched a browser integration for Claude that decrypts credentials only at the moment of use and passes them directly to the browser. The LLM never sees the underlying password or OTP.
Coinbase is reportedly already running over 1,000 agents in production using this. Authentication has been one of the last hard blockers for enterprise agentic deployment, so solving it without credential exposure is genuinely significant.
Also out of the Claude ecosystem, Anthropic announced winners of its Built with Claude Life Sciences hackathon. 3 standouts: Encipher, which narrows thousands of suspect DNA changes in childhood brain cancer down to the handful worth testing; Lazarus, which rebuilds abandoned research code and verifies it reproduces paper results, including fixing a 15-year-old bug; and Provenance, which harmonizes decades of cancer records across shifting staging classifications.
None of those are DMOS. They're solving specific, grinding infrastructure problems that have been stalling real research. That's a different category of hackathon output.
On the consumer side, Roblox unveiled Build, a new AI-powered tab coming to its mobile app that converts a text prompt directly into a playable game. It's aimed at younger creators who don't have traditional coding skills.
Given Roblox's scale, putting game creation behind a text prompt on mobile might genuinely be the most mainstream AI generation product we've seen yet.
And Google rebranded Notebook LM as Gemini Notebook, adding a cloud computer tool that lets the platform execute code for richer data analysis. It's a consolidation move under the Gemini brand.
Code execution in a research notebook is a meaningful capability jump. If it works reliably, that's a direct play on data analyst workflows.
LangChain published a Lang Graph and Lang Smith agent pipeline for RFP responses. 4 sequential agents handling requirements extraction, content mapping to internal libraries, draft generation with citations, and gap flagging for human review.
The point being that subject matter experts go straight into edit mode rather than starting from a blank page. And that architecture is replicable across a lot of similar document-heavy enterprise workflows.
Also out this week, OpenAI CFO Sarah Friar published a framework for measuring AI ROI across 4 dimensions: useful work completed, cost per successful task, dependability, and return on compute. It's a deliberate push to move enterprise evaluation past gut feel.
With AI budgets facing more scrutiny, a credible measurement framework from a top lab carries real weight in boardroom conversations. The question is whether teams actually adopt it or just cite it.
Now let's get into the business news, and it's a rough week for Google. Bloomberg reported that Gemini 3.5 Pro, promised at Google I/O for a June launch, is still unreleased. Training data was overhauled after coding benchmarks fell short, leaving Google without a competitive pro-tier model since February.
And it's not just a technical problem. There are reportedly internal turf wars between Android, DeepMind, and cloud teams slowing releases, plus high-profile departures. Noam Shazir and John Jumper both went to competitors.
It gets more uncomfortable. Bloomberg also reported that Google restricted its own employees from using Gemini to write or analyze internal software, concerned that proprietary code could leak into training data.
Simon Willison flagged the obvious irony. Google's own engineers didn't trust their own AI with their own code. That's a very difficult thing to explain to enterprise customers you're trying to sell on Gemini.
Big capital news: Databricks closed a $188 billion Series M, and separately, OpenRouter, the multi-model API routing service, is reportedly in acquisition talks, potentially with Databricks.
Databricks at that scale absorbing OpenRouter would concentrate a significant piece of the independent inference routing layer. That's worth watching closely.
Apple Intelligence, powered in China by Alibaba, got regulatory approval for iPhone deployment in China. Siri still needs additional regulatory steps before it can follow.
Access to China's iPhone market for AI features is a real revenue unlock, and the Alibaba partnership model could become a template for other Western AI products trying to get Chinese approval.
Also worth flagging, Simon Willison published a piece arguing that transparent training data policies are the single biggest competitive differentiator any AI lab could claim right now. His point, even paying close attention, he can't confidently summarize the training data policies of any leading lab.
Zero retention and no training commitments are murky across the board, and that gap is a real enterprise adoption problem that nobody has stepped up to own yet.
And finally, Rowan Chung's Forbes Under 30 Summit keynote argues that the defining skill of 2026 is what he calls AI intuition, knowing when AI adds value and when it doesn't. His case study, nearly all AI-written newsletters have died, while the rundown thrives by using AI for research and structure, but keeping humans in charge of judgment and voice.
As AI output gets more homogeneous, the human judgment layer stops being optional. It's the only real differentiator left, and that's a point worth sitting with.
That's your AI Daily Roundup for July 18th. We'll be back Monday.